Good morning. Did you call me Pastor Ben? Awesome. You can just call me Ben. But by the way, if you haven't met me, my name's Ben Friesen. I'm one of the pastors here. But thank you. I appreciate the title, the shout out there. Before we get into the sermon, I want to let our students know, if you would like to go to kids worship, you can meet Pastor Susan back at the back. So preschool through sixth grade, I believe, can meet Pastor Susan back there. We see a train leaving the station. All right. There we go. Actually get it fitted on like it's supposed to be. This actually has something to do with what I'm talking about today, because my senior year in high school, I was part of a theatrical production called Fools. Part of my class's tradition was every year the seniors in high school would put on a play, and they would use the proceeds from that play to go to that play and a couple other things they did throughout the year to go on their senior trip. And we were headed to Galveston, which I think was the furthest I had been away from my family. Galveston, Texas, the furthest I had been away from my family ever before. And so I was very excited to go. It kind of felt like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an adult now. I'm going down to Galveston as my big thing. I was excited. And so even those of us that are maybe less motivated to be theatrical, we wanted this play to go well. And so we were a little bit invested. I was one of the supporting actors. I had a decent memory, but I didn't quite merit being one of the leads, and praise God for that. But we did this play, Fools, and everyone was supposed to have a Russian accent. And if you have ever heard me attempt to do accents, it doesn't work. It ends up terrible. I end up being offensive, I'm sure. And so that's not something that I do, because I don't know how to, and I don't do it well. But there was this one popular thing at the time. For those of you who were around during the internet's kind of start, anyone know Strong Bad? Yes, Strong Bad. And so I did this entire play as Strong Bad, answering things like this. And that was my accent for the entire play long. And it was this ridiculous internet character that apparently three of us knew, and it is totally worth it for that. If you want to kill some brain cells, go look up Strong Bad on YouTube later. You'll question my judgment, and that's okay. It was the early 2000s. That feels like so long ago, even though it's not. But I had this accent, and it was very funny, and the crowd was kind of digging it. And there was this one section where it was in a group. It was multiple of us on stage, and they were all waiting for me to deliver that one line that was kind of the cue for the next person to go. And I kind of just looked out, and I froze. I saw there were a lot of people. I saw that my parents and grandparents were there, and then blank. Yep, don't know what I'm... Very aware that I'm supposed to be saying something, not at all aware of what that is. And then I hear a little small voice from off stage, my director, feed me my line. Just the start. Just the smallest start. Just say this. And I got my line. And everything went fine. Didn't have any hiccups for the rest of the evening. Next night went fine too. But sometimes when you're in a play, sometimes even in life, we recognize we need a line. We need to be given our line. What do we do? What do we say? Well, we are moving into a season where we're kind of going to be talking about the line that God gives us. We're going to be talking about prayer, talking about how do we connect with God? What do we do when we are praying and connecting with our Lord? I actually had another series planned for this month and just felt led to, you know what, we'll do that later. let's concentrate on connecting to God. Let's move to a time of prayer. Because prayer is what connects us to God, right? Prayer is this thing that where we connect with God. And I don't know about you guys, but after this year, after this year and a half, after this 3 years or 6 years or 10 years, I don't know. But after this season of time, I feel like I need that connection with God. And I don't know about you, but I am sensing that deeply, feeling like I need that connection with God. And it may be that some of you are feeling that too, that you are feeling this desire in your heart to, whether you are somebody that has some distance right now between you and God, or whether you are somebody that is on fire and moving, you might feel like you need this connection, because we all do. I want to be honest with you. I have kind of felt in a spiritual slump for a couple of weeks here. It's not been a very long time, but that sometimes happens to us. You get into a space, a phase where things just, God doesn't seem real close. God kind of feels distant. Anyone ever experienced that? You don't have to raise your hands. I can see heads moving, or if not, I'm going to trust that there's somebody out there that has felt distant from God at some point in their life. I want to tell you, if you feel that way, if you have felt distant in your walk with God, it is not weakness to acknowledge that. It's not weakness even to talk with other people about it. We recognize that, like any relationship, sometimes there are ebbs and flows in our relationships. And sometimes we feel really close to family, and sometimes family is really either they're doing something that's annoying or not going well, or we're distant, we're far away for some reason, maybe even physically. That happens with all our relationships, and so I want to encourage you, if you are somebody who feels distant from God, if you are someone that is feeling that distance, we want to get closer, and we want to put ourselves connecting with God more. And so I want to encourage you, if you're somebody that is feeling that distance, it is okay to acknowledge it. If you're not, great and wonderful. That is wonderful. I would strongly encourage you not to look down on people that are admitting that their spiritual life is not where they want it to be. Because our goal as Christians is to be connecting to God more and more. And even if we're trying to connect to God well, we recognize we sometimes go through a phase where it just seems like God is a little bit distant. But we recognize that God is always with us. And we always want to connect to God. And one of the ways that we do that is prayer. So if you're someone who has felt distance between you and God, or if you're somebody that is really on fire right now, that God is revealing things to you, that your spiritual life is growing and just expanding day after day, wherever you are at, I hope that we can all come to this series and take something away, because wherever we're at on our spiritual journey, connecting to God more, following Jesus more is what we want. We want to dig into our relationship with Jesus. There is no point at which we can say, you know, we've fully arrived, I'm a finished Christian. That doesn't exist, right? To paraphrase C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, there is always further up and further in. And so, whether you are someone who is feeling really connected, or if you're someone who knows things need to change, I want to encourage you to come at this series and just seek after God. Connect to God and be willing to change. I'm going to read a quote out of Richard Foster's book. This is a book that I've paid a bit of attention to in this series. It's literally called Prayer, Finding Heart's True Home. Richard Foster is somebody that has lived a full prayer life. This is often seen as one of the seminal, the main books on prayer in the evangelical world. I have a spare copy, by the way, so if you would like to borrow it, whoever connects with me first and would like to borrow a copy, please, I would love to give that copy out. Our library, it's going to go to our library soon. So Sherry, I think she's at home right now. She can look forward to that. But if you would like to borrow it before then, please connect with me. But Richard Foster has this to say. To pray is to change. This is a great grace. How good of God to provide a path whereby our lives can be taken over by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I love that quote because he starts out, to pray is to change. To pray is to change, to be changed. And that goes very well with the title of our series, because everything changes as I pray. That is what we believe as Christians. That is the truth. Because when we pray, whether we are individuals or we're connected in community, we're gathered there, things do . So before we go much further, I probably need to define things a little bit. We actually need to define prayer, because we acknowledge that sometimes we talk about Christian words and not everyone knows what they mean. And even if you've been a Christ follower your whole life, you might not know exactly what things mean. If I say the word prayer, we'll go popcorn here. What does prayer look like most of the time? When I say the word prayer, what's something you think of? I didn't warn you, sorry. Talking to God. Head bowed. Listening to God. Some of you might think of, somebody up on stage praying in a worship service, or you might think of, when I was a kid, I thought prayer had to do with food, because every time we had a meal, we prayed. And so I linked food and prayer together. Prayer might also be sitting quietly out at Lake Shawnee listening to what God has to say. You might think of some people pray by reading something, that their prayers are already pre-written. It's a read prayer. Some of us, I guess many of us, pray more in the moment. God, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is where I'm trusting you leading me to pray. All of these are correct. All of these are prayer. And prayer at its core is communication and communion. Communion with God, this connection with God, and it's communication. And the great thing about communication, Brian mentioned it, it's a two-way street. It's not just one direction. Sometimes in our mind, we think of prayer as, bringing prayer requests before God. And that is a good thing to do. The technical term for that, the theological term, is intercessory prayer, is what that is called. And that is a good thing to do, to bring requests before God. That is good and wonderful, asking for God to intercede, to move in a particular situation. Intercessory prayer is good and godly, and we see it time and time again throughout the Bible. But that's also not all that prayer is. Prayer is not only us coming to God with requests, just saying, God, can you answer these requests, and that's it. That reminds me kind of like me as a five-year-old with my mom walking down the Walmart aisles, and seeing there's this Han Solo disguised as a stormtrooper action figure that six-year-old Ben had to have. And every time we would walk down, I would be like, Mom, can we get that? Mom? And that's kind of, when we went into Walmart, Mom knew that was the level of communication from me she was getting. That was our communication, was can we get that Han Solo action figure? We don't want our prayer lives to just be, God, what about this? God, can you do this? Even though we do want to bring our requests to God, we do want to pray for God to intercede and move, but we recognize that's not all prayer is, that communication with God is something, it contains something more. prayer is one of those spaces where we as Christians get to communicate, get to hear back, get to listen to the God of the universe, who created everything, who redeemed us, who saved us. And I don't know about you, but that feels like a lot of pressure, right? That in our prayer lives, we've got a lot of pressure because we are connecting to God, who is the source of everything. And yet when we look at the Scriptures, when we look at our Bibles, we see a variety of people praying in a variety of ways, all connecting with God. So I'm just going to go through a couple examples here. We do see intercessory prayer, and sometimes we even see it in surprising ways. People saying, God, help me, or God, help these people move in this situation, intervene. Many of the Psalms are like this. One in particular that caught my eye this week was Abraham had a conversation with God. An intercessory prayer, intercessory conversation. Abraham was communicating with God, talking with God, praying about the town of Sodom, and saying, God, would you not destroy the town? God, please don't destroy the town. Save this town, even though this town has done and did evil and wicked things. Abraham was interceding for them. We see prayers asking for forgiveness, like in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, the tax collector prays, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Asking for forgiveness, asking for mercy, not even having the words that we as Christians often do of, Lord, forgive me through Jesus, because this was at the time of Jesus. We recognize prayers like this. Jesus prayed to God often, but his prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane is especially meaningful. From Matthew 26, this is verse 39. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus praying to God that if any way possible, could we do something else? Could we go another way, please? And yet, God, what you want to be done, not me. And the last example I've got for us today, and this is what I want us to focus on, is actually the prayer of Saul. The Christian persecuting rough and tumble Saul. The Saul that encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus. This is in Acts 22, and Saul, he is Saul when he encounters Jesus, though he is later called Paul. It's Paul recounting this story. He said he fell to his knees as a bright light shone around him. This voice spoke to him, and Saul asked, "What should I do? What should I do? Lord, what should I do? Lord, can you give me my line? Give me what you want to do. Tell me what I should do, what I should say." We had meant to get a video of her. We'll try and get a video of her for later on in this series. Caitlin has a powerful and meaningful prayer life, as I know that many of you do. Caitlin, actually, this is a prayer that she prays just about every day. God, what should I do today? Lord, what should I do? And so she was praying. I think this was on Wednesday or Thursday. And she was praying. And she just got a sense. She just felt two words. And you'd have to have a conversation with her to talk more about how that works out, how she experiences God. I know how I do, but she felt two words, and that was receiving and giving. So she finished her prayer, and then right about 5 seconds later, knocks at the door, and somebody dropped off vegetables for her. Like 5 seconds after her prayer, after receiving these words, receiving and giving, somebody dropped off a bunch of vegetables for her that we enjoyed. And later in the day, she found out she got a significant scholarship from the seminary, which is great and which is wonderful. And we received that well. We're still looking at where and how to give well, and for us to be generous also. We're looking into that and how we can be obeying God there. But it's that aspect of, God, what should I do? And then we expect some sort of response. And my conviction is that our lives would be so much better if we asked this question, Lord, or what should I do, Lord? And if we ask it, we need to expect some sort of response, because it is a terrible thing for us to ask the creator of the universe, God, what should I do, and then kind of tune out. That's not a good idea for us to ask Almighty God, Lord, what should I do, and then to not pay attention. Because we listen because we expect some sort of response. I don't know about you, I've not heard God's audible voice, and I don't necessarily expect to. That is not how God has communicated with me, and if I do, praise God, I will praise Him all the more. That will be wonderful. That's not how God has spoken to me, though I know some of us that has been a part of our faith journey, and that's wonderful. You don't need to hear God's audible voice to be communicated to, though. Because when you are in a space of listening to God, clearing your mind of distractions, of your own inner thoughts, and saying, God, what should I do? You're setting yourself up for the Holy Spirit to prompt you. For the character that God has created in you to speak. For the Holy Spirit, for your conscience to convict you. For the character that has been formed in you by Jesus to say more and more what you should do. And my conviction is when you ask God, what should I do? You're likely to get an answer. And sometimes that answer is, well, do anything. Do any of the options that you're thinking through at this particular time. Any of those would be good and God-honoring and fine. And sometimes, this is the one that sometimes is more difficult for me, sometimes the answer in a specific situation is to do nothing. That it's not your space, it's not your job to intervene, that God is bringing somebody else into this particular situation. And it can be either of those, it can be anywhere in between, or things that I haven't even thought of. But when we pray, when we ask for God to give us our line, to give us our direction, our instruction, we're taking a step closer to Jesus, and we are becoming more and more like our Lord. And I don't know about you, but encountering Jesus is the best thing. It's the best thing that's happened in my life. Sorry, Caitlin, we talked about this earlier this week, but she agrees. I take second place in her mind too. We're cool with that with each other. But Jesus is the best thing in our lives. And I know for me, in my place of spiritual need, in my place of needing connection, of needing to encounter God and God's presence this week, this line of, what should I do, Lord, has been meaningful. I've been asking it this week, and my invitation to you, my invitation to our church community, is to go forward this week and praying this prayer that Saul had. What should I do, Lord? So I want to invite you to do that. I want you to invite you to do that right now. I'm actually going to have the worship team, if you guys want to head back up here real quick. I know I moved some of the stuff around. I apologize. You may need to grab your stuff a little bit more. But I'm going to ask our worship team to sing and to lead us in that song, All Who Are Thirsty, where we asked Lord Jesus to come, where we asked God, would you come, Holy Spirit, come. And so as they're leading us in singing, you can join in and sing and make that your prayer. You can just sit in silence and let these words of God wash over you, of yearning, of connecting to God. However you want to engage, I want to invite you, connect with our Lord. Ask, Lord, what should I do this time?
Bow your heads if you'd like. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the giving and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we'll sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We'll sing home.
Felt our Lord's presence, that you felt the Spirit's presence, God our Father's presence, and that as you pray this prayer, Lord, what should I do? As you pray this prayer this week, that you will hear from our God. So, may you listen to our Lord, may you hear from Him, and may your lives be overflowing with hope found by the power of the Holy Spirit. Blessings to you, church family. Go in peace.